speaking in her innocence. Said they look like the God in their faces, meaning they look like Jesus in their faces. The image that she thought was the face of God, but act like the devil in their heart. That woman had great anguish. She was suffering. She had great anguish of mind and spirit, trying to reconcile, trying to understand how could a people looking like Jesus more than I do be so far from being righteous. So she said, Miss Julia said, they look like the God in their faces, but they act like the devils in their hearts. I'm telling you, that is a prophetic statement. I may not have the time to give you all that I plan to give you today, but in all that I say today, I'm trying to point out this, that God has been in this struggle all the way. We haven't been deciding anything. God has been deciding everything for us all the way. Nat Turner didn't receive a revelation on Mount Sinai, on any other mountain. But Nat Turner was an instrument of God to bring this freedom movement closer to its destiny. Told the Caucasian man that though we are overwhelmingly outnumbered, thoroughly subdued, have no hope to do anything but commit suicide, I will commit suicide. Nat Turner fought odds that he knew would mean suicide. But he did it. He did it. Nat Turner, your genes are in me. You didn't lose, Al. We're all here together. How else can you inherit an ancestor except that you inherit his hope, his yearning, his spiritual needs, his social yearnings, his economic ambitions, his political ambitions? How else can you inherit an ancestor without inheriting his aspirations? So those who have inherited the ancestors, the aspirations, pardon me, of their upright and brave, courageous ancestors, they have inherited their ancestors, and in them the ancestors rejoice. This is nothing spooky. This is reality. This is reality. It has been thought that by honoring national origin, it simply bring a people into national dignity. Wrong. People, you can't have no spiritual relationship with national origin and benefit nationally. It takes more than that. That's just the beginning. That's the minimum requirement. But once you get spiritual identity with national origin, then you have to build on solid steps. Solid steps of rational growth and understanding. You can't be an African by simply saying I'm an African, or by wearing his dashiki. That makes you look cosmetic. Silly-minded. And then it has been thought that honor tends to come from nation to nation. Not from nation to a national constitution, can't call yourself a nation and get honor from a nation. You have to have the national constitution of a nation, the constitutional development of a nation, to be called a nation and get honor from nation. We used to say we are the last found nation of America. Some of us think we can lose what the Holy Elijah Muhammad gave us and still get respect by calling ourselves a nation. You won't. You won't. I hear some people now call themselves a nation, the black nation. But they're only talking blackness and money and gain organizations. Yes, that's all they're talking. Blackness, money, and gang structure. Gang structured leadership. That's all they're talking. They'll never get respect. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad called himself a nation and got respect. How come? Because he wasn't turned on to just an appellative, meaning a simple name, just a label. He was turned on to in the Constitution, pardon me, of a nation. A nation began with some roots in real history. And it grows from a root seed, to a plant well-structured, well-organized. That there must be some knowledge growth. There must be knowledge growth. Knowledge growth in the historic sequence of the growth or evolution of a nation. You have to come up in your own thinking the same way nations have physically come up in the history of society. Nations began with people having an interest in first things first, in things nearest to them first. Having an interest in good parent leadership, good obedient children, having an interest in providing the things that the small, simple family needs first, such as a good mother, a good father, fruitful brothers and sisters, clean-cut, sincere, fruitful brothers and sisters, good diet at home, clean manners at home, authority at the dining table and not chaos at the dining table where somebody speaks and everybody shut up and eat that dinner. He understood that this growth in the nation has to start where it starts historically. It has to start with a parent, with children obeying their parents, with an orderly home life, with decency being established in that home life, with some authority at the dining table, somebody saying yes to somebody else, with fear in the family, the members fearing some authority in the household. But these new-minded niggas, they don't have that kind of sense. And I hate to call them niggas, but that's what they are. They what the Caucasian slave master made them. And he made them niggas. So he began first organizing the family, bringing dignity back to male authority, bringing dignity back to the female role. Set up two classes, MGT and FOI. MGT was set up for the express purpose of restoring the women and the girls of the society back to their female roles and dignity. To give them dignity as females on a simple family life order on that level. The mother with authority, the mother with decent manners, decent character, the mother not going around in the house with panties on, letting her little children strutting around with panties on, or wearing a thin negligee where the child looks through and see everything through her thin negligee, And then turn a thing at the little doll, and the little doll taking on some of her manners. So Honorable Elijah Muhammad realized that first the dignity of the female has to be established where it begins in the evolution of a nation. It begins at her. You tell me I haven't been established on solid ground? My, my, my. You didn't see me coming. That's how come you missed me. Now, some of us have turned our freedom struggle into just an excitement over simple labels that say super things without substance. Yes. Well, how come we can't be called Africans? I have called you to something more dignified. I have called you to call yourself an alien. That will give you more dignity. But many of you can't understand it. You don't want to call yourself an alien. So since the majority of you want to go along with me and calling ourselves racially or ethnically as an alien people, then I compromise with you until the time comes. And I have gone back to calling you African American. I don't want to call you African American. I want to call you the Latin American. But for your sake, this is something I can give up. I can sacrifice this for now. It won't cost us too much. If you want to call yourself African American, I'll go along with you. But please don't ask me to call your colored people or niggers or Negroes again. That's too big a compromise. God has shown me that Africa is an appellative that doesn't do justice to this evolution, the new birth of an ethnic group in America. I see out here in this audience today some who used to see me preach on 5335 Greenwood for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And among you are those who remember me telling you then that you are a new people. You are a new ethnic group in America. Everybody can point back to some ancestor, especially the Asiatics of Asia. They point back to some common ancestor, most of them. But they are not no more called by that name anymore. They're Chinese, they're Japanese, they're a lot of different people now. And the Arabs, they have a common ancestor, Adnan. His name is Adnan. But they don't go in that name now. Their common ancestor now, he lost them. They call themselves Saudi Arabians, Egyptians. Well, actually, Egyptian is not a true Arab. But Saudi Arabians, the people of Yemen, Kuwait, perhaps Kuwait, those people are true Arabs. Now, there are a lot of people who are called Arabs that are not true Arabs. Because their blood was mixed a little bit and because of taking on the culture of Islam. And the language, mainly because of taking on the language of Arabic, they have been called Arabs. Yes. So you want to go back and call yourself African. If you were any other people, I would say maybe it would work. But you are you. And I know your ancestral genes. And it's not in the ancestral genes to be called African or African American. That's not in your ancestral genes. It's not in your spirit as a people to be called that. Because God is your protector. And God has made you to feel that that's not satisfying. And now let's look at why it's not satisfying. I contend it with another Tom that was once in our leadership here in the World Community of Ellis Law, who didn't agree with my understanding of the problem in this name. That Uncle Tom, now, I don't know what he's doing, but I know I'm still on my job. Allah blessed me years ago to come across a history book that they thought never would come into the hands of African Americans or Bilalians. They wrote this history book for their children. It was not for us. But Almighty God blessed me as He blessed me to come into the hands of a lot of things. He blessed me to come into the hands of this book. In this book, it tells how Africa got its name. Africa got its name from Caucasian people. Africa is not African. The word Africa is Greek. Ifrika. Ifrika is Greek. Ifrika is Greek, not African. Go ask the African people. Did you know of this name before? They will tell you right now, no. Many Africans right now don't even know that there is such a term, Africa. Once they get a lot of TVs and radios, they will know. And newspapers and magazines, they will know. But there are many who are now so far from the media, from the world media, that they don't know right now the term Africa. You don't know what you're talking about. I have an African right here who's witnessing with me. I forgot he was here. Here is a brother here from Ghana, native of Ghana. He will tell you that they don't call themselves Africans. Yes, stand and let them know. Show them your face and tell them. Yes, turn around so they can see you. This is our African brother. And he is there witnessing with me. And Imam Noor, if you can see his face, you'll see that he too is there witnessing with me. That they don't call themselves Africans. The Caucasian called them Africans. He's saying, yes, that's right. Why did the Caucasian call them Africans? Because it fell into the picture. It fell into the plan. Their plan for world dominance over Africans and all colors. It fell into their plan of white supremacy. And I don't want anything that came out of their plan for white supremacy. God has put that in my spirit to reject everything that they have given us for white supremacy. And it's in your spirit too, if you will only wake up to it. Just wake up to what you're feeling. Stop running away from what you're feeling. You know what they're doing when they call us Africans? They're laughing at us just like they laugh at us when they call us niggers. Africans come from a word, a combination of words, meaning hen, hen. And another part of the word meaning spirit of the jinn. Jinn and jinn part mean nature. Jinn and jinn nature are jinn social aspirations. The term Africa was used to label you or identify your ancestors, all black people, as a people given to wild sensuous pleasures. A hot nature people. The Greek word Aphrodite or Aphrodite comes from the same word, is of the same root, meaning hot nature, all hot nature, heated up like a dog in heat. You think I want that name on my people? I wouldn't want that name on my people, and you shouldn't want it. Our ancestors didn't choose it for themselves. It was their conquerors who chose it. No, I don't like the term Africa. It's a mockery, it's a ridicule, it's a laughing name that they use to secretly laugh at us. There was a time when the map didn't carry Africa on it. Ethiopia was on the map. Another Greek name. Ethiopia, another Greek name. But there was a time when neither of these names on the map. Abyssinia was on the map. And Abyssinia is not Greek. Ab means father. Abyssinia means the surrounding. Father of the surrounding. Now that sounds like a dignified name to me. Abyssinia. Yes. That great nation in history, once called Kush, the great Ethiopian nation, which once included Sudan, a great people, a mighty people, industrialist speaking, great architects of the finest structure, road builders, pyramid builders, men of science, astronomy, great knowledge of Sudan and Ethiopia, was once called the leaders, father in their language didn't mean father. It meant simply authority, ruler, leader. We're having the ruins of the pyramids there right now, the head of the thing called Abu Hal. Abu Hal, father of what is around, father of the state. Yes, I have people here. You don't have to get the history book. Here's a man here from the land. Who knows the language through Arabic? He's not from Egypt now, he's from Sudan. But they were once one nation, you know that? Yes, they were once one nation. And they were once under the native African, as we call him now. And the foreign intruder came in and took over with the rise of the European Caucasian people. And the world dominance. Worldwide dominance. In fact, the power changed many times. In Africa, power went from the native African to the outsider. Changed many times. In what we call now Egypt. And even in Sudan now. Well, let us keep moving. There are two Caucasian heroes that were given the title name Africa, but not Africa, they pronounce it Africanus. One of them is Leo Africanus, and the other one is Scipio Africanus. One of these Africanus is the one that drove Hannibal to the sea. The other one was a scientist and also, what do you call the one who mapped out the land? Yes, you understand. Yes. Explorer. And one was a military man, the other one was an explorer. These two great leaders have the name Africanus, Leo and Scipio. No other people in the history, and African history, named Africa Africanus. It's only the Caucasian leaders that are named Africanus. So why should we call ourselves African? Afro-American? Something has always been in us, causing us to reject the term. People accuse us of not respecting our ancestors, but there was something else. People would also accuse us of taking all the lies that the Caucasian had told us about our ancestors, but there was something else. There was something in the king spirit that says, no, this ain't the truth. This ain't the truth. Don't accept it. Oh, yeah. So, dear people, we don't accept these blessings, these terms. I have only gone along with you until the time comes. I know the time is going to come when you are going to learn what I know. And you all are going to get away from these old crazy spirits you got now that's dividing, causing divisiveness and diverting our energy from the central interest into all these other destructive ways. Time is going to come when this is going to be over and the people are going to find home. And home is here. in the world community about Islam in the West. Time is going to come when they're going to find home. And then you're going to give up your petty arguments that don't have any real base in history. I hope to see the day when Africans will tell the Western world, we reject being called Africans anymore. This is a name that you chose for us, we reject it. If it was an honorable name, we would respect, maybe have a council and decide upon acceptance. But since we have discovered that it's some more your racist slur, we reject it and insist that they don't use the term in the United Nations or anywhere else. That's right. The day will come, inshallah. They were jealous of us because God had blessed us with an environment that was tropical, hot, allowed time for leisure, allowed time for music, song and dance. Can you imagine them dancing on an iceberg? Imagine them singing folk songs and having merriment out on a snow plateau. Well, that's where they were, most of them. And they gradually filtered down from the Iceland into the warm climate. It wasn't their home. The cold region was their home. They gradually came down into the warm region. And when they came down and found all those people out there having siestas, they got jealous. They said, sucker don't have to build a fire to have a siesta. We can't sleep without building a fire first. We'll fix him. We're going to turn his leisure into his enslavement. The forces are for his enslavement. So that's what they did. They decided to reverse the things that satisfy your appetite, to reverse the need in your appetite for those things from a healthy kind of utilization into your need of those things to a destructive utilization of those things into your need. So how do they do it? God has told us. They ain't got no nutrients. God has told us how to do it. They drive you to extremes. A good thing, if you drive it to extreme, will become a destructive thing. So whereas you used to have a drum, a percussion party, doing the celebration of a birth in the family, or marriage, or some other cultural occasion, they use it to occupy your time every day, all the time. So they fit you into a concussion with too much percussion. Yes, they turned your nice, decent, healthy percussion into a concussion, a mental concussion. Why? Because they learned the tools, learned the knowledge of how to use the tools to reverse nature, to reverse psychological nature. They learned it from the Jacobites, who went to Europe as a place of refuge and as a new beginning for world supremacy. They went to Europe and found an ideal society for their devilish work. And they said the devilish aggressions, the devilish appetite and aggression in the Europeans, and gave them the sense that they were exercising the devilish aggression in the name of God. Escondido. They sold him the idea that the devil is coming out of you in the name of God to serve God and his son Jesus. That you are not a devil, you are the chosen, the one chosen to dominate the black beast of Africa, the heathen of Asia. Yes, this is a lie that they sold them, and they told them, if you will follow us, we know what you don't know about the history of these beasts and savages. If you follow us, we will put you into position of authority over them. But Muhammad gave it in these words. Say, Musa came and taught him some of the forgotten trick knowledge and told him, don't you know you were made to rule? Say, if you will obey me, Yaqub said this even before, that if you will obey me, I will lead you to dominance over them. Man came in here and took a very changing thing. He dropped some of the tools of the Jacobite in the society of the oppressed. And he didn't know a son of Mary was being born in America. The son of Sister Clara Muhammad was being born for leadership in America. He didn't know that God would open his eyes to see both the revealed and the hidden. He didn't know that. But God knew it. He thought that he was going to give up to cannon fodder. And he was going to make us a cannon explosion for destroying America. And in the process, we would be destroyed, most of us, and those few that survived would be saved for Ahmadiyya glory. But God, he watches from a position that they can't see. God knows that the tools, the special knowledge, the secret knowledge should fall into the hands of the new man, the new leader of the new world. Little did Dr. Elijah Muhammad know that I would interpret those lessons in the way that I did. He was disappointed when he saw the way that I was interpreting those lessons. He thought that I was going to interpret it to bring out more power, to put more power in Farid Muhammad and W.D. Farrar, and to put more power in himself as messenger, and put more power in you as a black supremacy group. When he saw that I was interpreting it to undo that, he was disappointed. He was afraid of my presence. He wouldn't have any argument with me, but others could hear it, because he feared that I might say something that will wake the others up. But he learned that if he didn't press me, I wouldn't take the boat. So he stopped pressing me, so I wouldn't take the boat. And Almighty God gave him a merciful blessing before his death. First, he heard me talking on a radio program. I hadn't been accepted back in the community. I was talking about the symbolic interpretation of Adam, Eve, and the serpent in Genesis. Dr. Elijah Muhammad was told that your son is out there teaching again. So he wanted to hear what I was saying. They brought him what I was saying, or he heard it by radio or something like that. And he said, the boy got something. So he got something there. Then later on, a month later, after I had been accepted back to him, by him, and they wonder, how in the world, what's wrong with Dr. Elijah Muhammad? that he let this man who teaches justice, what he represents, come back in here and put him on the roster. He wouldn't sit me out there in the audience like he did others. But I came back, I came up here. Minister Yusuf Shah, the minister, he was the minister here. I was out, being called a hypocrite. The man called a hypocrite called his father, and his father said, okay, son, come on back. And the minister don't even know that the man ain't still a hypocrite. All he knows, Brother Wallace is here. You know, somebody tell him, hey, yes, his father said it's okay. And I would get up on the rostrum, and I didn't hide. I would teach what God was blessing me with. And I would give it in the doses that I thought you could accept without the boat taking. Lord Elijah Muhammad saw that I was careful not to take the boat too much, to spill nothing out that shouldn't be spilled before time. So he trusted me. And God blessed him because of his faith in what he thought was growing in his son. God blessed him to see exactly what I was coming into before he passed. And when they brought him the information, they thought that he was going to get me busted. They thought that now he would certainly be finished. Because I had made a powerful, revolutionizing speech. But I was trusting the guidance of God. I didn't care what happened. I didn't feel nothing was going to happen that couldn't happen. They took the thing to him. I happened to be there. They had it fixed, so I was there too. So I'd be right on the spot while he's getting hot. So he wouldn't have time to cool. He would just enrage, execute his judgment on me right on the spot. We all sit there listening to the tape. And Army Elijah Muhammad sat for a long time with his head down. Didn't want nobody to see his expression. Just here, head down here. I said something and Army Elijah Muhammad's head came up like this. See, he was up like this for a while. And he's just looking like that, just straight ahead like that. Then he jumped up out of his seat. Oh, praise due to Allah. Now you tell me that's not a blessing for a father to be the leader that he was for almost 50 years and for his son to come up with something that's drastically different from what he preached and established and his father sit and listen to him and jump up and join what his son was saying. That means that my father was my first convert. Because of that, the glory he achieved as the leader of the Nation of Islam, the honorable G-Mix, the honorable history stands. Though it stands at variance with Orthodox Islam, still it stands. What do I mean by that? It is history for research. It is history for enlightening us and bringing us into more understanding. Though it was not in agreement with what is in the Quran. It's social history. It's social history. It's history of a social transformation that was brought about in this country that didn't begin with me. It began with all of Elijah Muhammad and his teacher, Farag Muhammad. So it stands in the history. So I have to speak of our history, not as the history that started 1975, February 26th. I have to speak of the history of this society now, the new world, in terms of this full evolution as a social organism, growing into full political life. Yes, I have to speak of this whole history because I wasn't born out of nothing. I was born out of the Nation of Islam. I was born out of something, and I was born out of something that was mighty in social terms, it was mighty. It defeats. It reached back into time before time was. And it sought to provoke the mind, to provoke the mind, to provoke the dead mental cells of a culturally inspired people to think and visualize a beginning beyond a beginning. It challenged, brother, it challenged our imagination, it challenged our mind to reach back in time and think of a time when there was no United States. Think of a time when there was no colonies in America. Think of a time when there was no slave ships. Think of a time when there was no tribal divided Africa. Think of a time when there was no Africa. Think of a time when there was no civilized on that continent. Think of a time when there was no Europe, America, Africa. Think of a time when the whole world had one name. Now go and think back even deeper. Go back and think further. Think of a time when the earth was not here. Hold up. Think of a time when the sun was not in the sky. Think of a time when the stars was not there. Think of a time when there was nothing. Go back to nothing and build your mind up again. You tell me you're going to cut me out of this history? Oh, no. I'm here to beat you at your own game. Can you imagine any physical freedom satisfying your soul needs like this? Don't you know the taking of the chain and the yoke was nothing like a thrill when you measure it with this? Oh, brother. The man who had his chain taken off, he didn't know what we did. Time? We're crossing Jordan. We're going on over into the promised land. For such a grand occasion, we'll call out Joshua and tell him, hold the sun still for a while. Yes, God sent us a scourger. In Dr. Farrar, man called Wallace Farrar, Wallace B. Farrar, W.D. Muhammad, W.D. Farrar. God sent us a scourger in that man, a man to punish people for their sin. He punished the Caucasian for their racist supremacy, and he punished us for our stupidity. He gave us a burdensome mission. Fed our stupidity. Fed our tendency to be stupid. Yes, he did. There was a tendency in your nature, in your mental mind nature, to give yourself to magic and spook up stuff. He gave you something that would beat the hell out of your stupidity. Gave you Yaqub's history. Flanges of earth. The time it takes thought to travel from one planet to another.